I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome back to the Stat Monday Football Podcast. This is episode 57. On today's show, we're going to talk the news, then we're going to dive into the transfers that you may have missed over the weekend, and finally finish off with a Champions League preview of Juve versus, of course, the mighty Monaco. Anyway, first up, let's do the news. So something that went under the radar yesterday was this from Patrice Evra.
Seriously, guys, I don't understand how people can still hate Monday. You can't. On the Patrice Evra Instagram, you can't hate Monday. I got such a life, woo, and a cloudy day. Sing with me, sing with me. When it's cold outside, I've got much made. I got it, baby. I got it. Oh, hey. I guess you say, what can make me feel this way, my girl, my girl, my girl, I'm talking about my girl, my girl.
Anyway, I just thought I'd bring that to you to cheer up your day or evening or even the middle of the, you know, wherever you are right there. Patrice Evra again dropping some absolute tunes on his Instagram account, a cracking account to follow. Anyway, on to the news. Kevin Strootman has received a two-game ban in Serie A for simulation against Lazio, meaning he'll be suspended for the Milan game and, of course, the Juve game, which is bad news for Roma, who are still battling to grab that second position in Serie A from the jaws of Napoli. But in other news, in Serie A, Montari has been suspended for a game after walking off the pitch after being racially abused. So that's Serie A doing it very well and suspending someone for simulation, diving, and then suspending another player that's walking off the pitch for racial abuse, which is disgusting from the Italian Football Association. Absolutely ridiculous. No sanction for Cagliari either, whose fans racially abuse Montari. Just what is going on in the world? FIFA disbanding their anti-racism commission, maybe what, in 2013? Absolutely disgraceful scenes over there. Something that needs to be definitely addressed in European football. And Montari did very, very well at the weekend, but now, unfortunately, has been suspended. What an absolute joke. In transfer news, Marco Verratti has been spotted in Monaco with his agent, sparking rumours that he is going to move to the mighty Juve in the summer. Imagine that Juve midfield. They probably have to play four central midfielders, Marchisio, Verratti, Pjanic, and of course Sami Khedira. Maybe a diamond. That could be quite tasty. Anyway, moving on, Newcastle captain Lascelles revealed that he'd been playing with a hernia for the past 4 months and now has undergone surgery, which is absolutely incredible commitment and fight from your captain. You want to see that. And, you know, something that we've sort of seen in the past few weeks is Manchester United's defenders either not being fit or just dropping down with injury. You know, the likes of Chris Smalling, Phil Jones, Luke Shaw, the list goes on and on and on. You flip that to the United team that was last dominant European football, you're looking at players like Nemanja Vidic, Patrice Evra. I think in the 5 years between 2007 to 2011-12 season, between them they missed a mere 15 games. Chris Smalling this season, he's missed 22. We'll leave you on that. In other transfer news, which we won't talk about in the transfer section, West Ham have bid 30 million euros for Dries Mertens. But that's from one part. Another part is saying Dries Mertens is reportedly on the verge of extending his Napoli contract after a fantastic season with a Naples club. Moving on to Manchester United news, Mourinho has banned players using social media around the training ground and on match day. Zlatan Ibrahimovic has undergone successful knee surgery, and it's apparently a not career-ending injury from his agent. Obviously, want to sign a new deal with United or move on to the MLS, so you've got to say that. And of course, Luke Shaw has been ruled out for the rest of the season. But the last little bit of news we want to touch on, 5 years ago today, Fiorentina's Jajic sarcastically clapped at his manager, then De La Rossi, after being substituted. What happened next was pretty crazy. Jajic went behind his manager, gave him a little clap, and Rossi absolutely snapped. Jumped off the dugout and started laying punches into poor old Jajic's head, but probably deserved it. A player that did have some time at Manchester United when he was a youth player, but apparently his attitude wasn't good enough. And of course, De Rossi telling him that his attitude is not good enough with a punch to the face. De Rossi, in fact, was sacked after that incident, but it was a funny one that's reappeared in the world. Anyway, let's get on to the interesting part of today's podcast, and that is the transfer gossip that's been flying around over the weekend. First up, let's start with Manchester United. Because again, there's a lot of rumours going around. Obviously, United struggling to get into the top four in the Premier League, with the Europa League being their only chance to make Champions League for me. It's a bit of a weird season. It's a season where there's been a lot of frustration. Being at the Swansea game, I spoke of yesterday about how they lacked to break Swansea down, the side was passing, the backward passing that was absolutely atrocious. So expect rumours galore in the summer. The first big one that came up from Don Balon on Sunday was that Real Madrid have agreed to sell James Rodriguez to United in exchange for David De Gea. So let's break that down first. Of course, David De Gea leaving Manchester United kind of appears to be that. It just seems like it's going to happen this summer. Obviously, United kept him under Louis van Gaal from not using the fax machine or whatever it was, not sending them a password on a document. But David De Gea has been a great servant for Manchester United. But again, as I mentioned before, goalkeepers can be replaced. It would be a big miss. Go back to the Louis van Gaal era. It was very, very good goalkeeper. But again, he looks like he wants to leave. And for me, a player that doesn't want to play for Manchester United may as well be moved on, get the correct fee and get someone in that wants to play for United, like Ander Herrera, who potentially should be United's next captain. A little debate on Full-Time Devils today about that, and it was quite an interesting one. But at the end of the day, I think it's agreed out of the current squad, Ander Herrera would be the perfect guy. But what I quite like is United to sign a sort of dominant centre-half to be the captain, and then Ander Herrera to take a little bit of a backward step, maybe be the assistant captain and sort of, be the guy that's barking around his leader's orders around the pitch. Of course, Mourinho likes to have centre-backs or goalkeepers as captains. You think, Ramos or Iker Casillas at Real Madrid, your likes of Zanetti or Lucio, Walter Samuel at Inter Milan, or even Julio Cesar. So it could be a real good one for United to pick up one of these big dogs. If United even got someone like Diego Godin, or they grab someone like Bonucci, would be absolutely fantastic. But probably not going to happen. Out of Villarreal could be a good option, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. But in terms of James Rodriguez, who'd be coming the other way, fantastic stats this season in La Liga when he's played. He sort of plays for this Madrid B team that I've always mentioned about, usually in central midfield, partnering Isco. His movement's been fantastic. His ability to create chances and something per minute has been pretty incredible. In terms of La Liga, he's got the best record for any midfielder in terms of minutes per goal or assist. But in terms of like the total impact on the game, it's not quite there. He's like, again, one of those players, like an impact player. You hit him the ball, he will do something, but he will drift in and out of game. So it is all about the deep line playmaker, probably Paul Pogba, to get James Rodriguez the ball at the right time. Moving into other news, the Sunday Times reporting that Atletico are planning to offer Griezmann a new deal, with earnings apparently as high as €12 million a year. That's about €10.1 million, with his release clause apparently going to be above the €100 million figure that it is at the moment. So Man United probably need to move. Again, we spoke a lot about Atletico yesterday and his work rate, his determination. Obviously, he's got everything else. He's a complete player, Antoine Griezmann, in an attacking and a defensive sense. Would be a better option than James Rodriguez, but James Rodriguez wouldn't be a bad option as well. Again, James Rodriguez a little bit slightly more explosive, I'd say, than Antoine Griezmann. Antoine Griezmann more on his guile, his movement and his intelligence, and also his finishing. James Rodriguez is more of a type of guy you can ping the ball to, will smash it in from 30 yards, will pull wide and whip a ball in perfect onto the striker's headers. So they're different, very, very different players, but I'd prefer Griezmann because he is all round a better, total footballer in a way with all of his skills. Griezmann over James Rodriguez for me, both my players being linked heavily with Manchester United in recent weeks, and especially this weekend. Moving on to the Manchester United news, and Barcelona defender Jordi Alba has expressed his frustration at lack of playing time this season. He's pretty kind of fallen out with Luis Enrique, with Enrique switching to a sort of 3-5-2, going with Titi over Jordi Alba at the centre-back, and obviously the wing-back was Neymar before his suspension. It will be Neymar again. So it's an interesting one. Jordi Alba, fantastic for Barca for a number of seasons, and it just seems like he's fallen out. Maybe this is reported by the Metro, so probably is a load of rubbish. But at Manchester United, again, would massively upgrade that area. I think United need experience in the summer. They need experience and they need quality. I think it's something that Mourinho usually does at his clubs. He usually signs players around 28, 29, 30 that are ready to go. Because United do lack that. They lack that cutthroat, finished article in some positions in their team, especially at left fullback. We've seen Damian be there, Daley Blind be there, and of course Luke Shaw. Jordi Alba was the best left fullback in world football a few seasons ago and can get to that same level again, and would be a perfect signing for Manchester United, especially considering how narrow whoever plays on the left-hand side plays, if it is Mkhitaryan, if it is Jesse Lingard, if it is Anthony Martial, all looking to come inside. So that width created by that fullback's crucial, and we've not seen that from Luke Shaw, we've not seen that from Daley Blind. Again, I mentioned before, it is slightly a tactical issue with Mourinho liking to have the three defenders and one attack, sort of this lopsided attitude, and it is the left back that holds the position a little bit more. Again, it might be down to Mourinho evolving this side. I made a video on a 3-4-3-4 Manchester United that could fit perfectly and allow both wing backs to push forward, but it looks like Mourinho is very much sticking to the 4-2-3-1 or the 4-3-3, apart from when he really has to negate the opposition's tactics. You know, go back to the Chelsea game, the 3-5-2 he played there with that Ander Herrera as the marker was just to negate his opponent, wasn't a tactical thing that he was looking to do and to progress on this side. In other news, Sky Sports reporting that Manchester United are favourites to sign Kasper Schmeichel. Could be an interesting one. Again, were they just listening to the Statman Day Football podcast? I think we touched on that on Friday's episode, and it seemed like the news came out on Sunday. Maybe they were just, the avid listeners. But again, it could be a real good signing. I think it suits Man United. It suits how United play. Again, it's a shot stopper. The quality of David De Gea, it's not really near there, but he's still a very, very good goalkeeper. And when called upon in certain areas, has shown this season and last season that he can make the saves in the big moments and can organise and... not nowhere near as good as his father was, but he is a very, very decent player and could improve at United at 30 years old. He's a ready replacement for David De Gea. David De Gea, again, he's matured at Manchester United. He came as a very scared young player, couldn't deal with Blackburn Rovers and Phil Jones. What was he called? Grant Hanley. I remember a game, went to on New Year's Eve. It was an early game, I think it was at like 11:30. So we were down the pub. This was back in the day when I lived in Manchester. We were down the pub at like 10. And about 5 Jager bombs by about 11:30. I was absolutely destroyed. And he went to this game, and David De Gea just had a stinker. Blackburn 1-3-2. And it was just on, and they scored twice from corners, whipped in just to David De Gea, and he just didn't deal with it. The big Blackburn centre-backs bullied him. And again, it took time for David De Gea to get where he was, and it's credit to Manchester United and the work they put into David De Gea. Kasper Schmeichel was completely different and would be instantly ready to go. And it could be a good option. Other goalkeepers on the market, but could be a very good option in Sky Sports. Seem to know what those guys are doing. Moving on to other Sky Sports news, this time Sky Sports Italia, and we're talking Chelsea now. Let's switch it up to Chelsea, who are reported to be having beaten the signing of Torino striker Andre Belotti. 84.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
€4 million release clause. But he wants to play in the Champions League, which again is what Chelsea are definitely going to offer, considering they're going to win the Premier League. Belotti would fit perfectly into the Chelsea system. Made a video on the front three YouTube channel, if you want to go and check that out, how he would replace Diego Costa. The big thing with Belotti is he puts in a pretty decent defensive work. He averages about 3 tackles a game for a striker. He's very, very good. Mihailovic has his Torino team playing, slightly pressing in certain situations, and Belotti's a good guy there, so could fit in. Obviously, the Italian connection with Conte makes massive sense. And the big thing with if Costa does move back to Atletico or to China is goals. Belotti, 25 goals in Serie A this season. More crucially, the really interesting part is the 10-headed goals. Very, very good with his head. If, Chelsea again want to transition to a 3-5-2 and look to get their wing-backs high and crossing into the box, you've got a perfect guy in there if they want to slightly evolve their side. With the other thing as well, being reported by the Sunday Times that Conte believes that it'd be impossible for Eden Hazard to be kept at the Bridge if Real Madrid make an offer. So this is the next evolution of this Chelsea team. Again, if you win the league, don't stop. You've got to evolve. You've got to bring the next thing. And the next big thing could be bringing Belotti in, could be switching to a 3-5-2, and potentially as well, like the Mail said on Sunday, bringing in Bakayoko into that midfield. That would have such bite, that midfield. Midfield of, having Cesc Fabregas and then Bakayoko and Kante ahead of him would open up that, that space for Fabregas to sit a little bit deeper. Because Fabregas is a wonderful player. You saw his involvement for the third goal at the weekend against Everton. The amount of times he was looking over and checking his shoulder, it was absolutely incredible. And he has that awareness. And he really could be a deep line playmaker and really could be the Pirlo. Said it before and I'll say it again. Bakayoko, Kante could be great shuttlers for Conte. You know, you're getting those wing-backs he's already got there. You know, Victor Moses and Alonso. Fabregas in front, Belotti up front. Maybe throwing in Pedro or Willian off him. Could be a real good way for Conte to move this side on. Chelsea looking very, very good and look like, of course, they're going to win the Premier League title. Moving on to their title challengers, Tottenham are obviously winning the North London derby at the weekend. Great move for them going forward. Pochettino is dealing with his biggest problem I reckon he's had in so far in his whole managerial career. And that is dealing with big, big players at a big, big club wanting to leave. There was a report of a bust-up with Kyle Walker before the North London derby. And in fact, he was dropped with Kieran Trippier coming in. Kieran Trippier had a pretty decent game for Tottenham Hotspur. But after that bust-up, it appears that he's ready to go with the a lot of papers reporting that Manchester City to be the likely destination. Given the fact that Guardiola needs fullbacks massively, having Kyle Walker as a right wing-back or right fullback would really help City in the final third, but also in the defensive transition. Something that Kyle Walker has got his pace for abundance and it's really good for recovery. That's something that City have struggled to do, is their recovery from their attacking phase to their defensive phase. And with someone like Kyle Walker in there who can really fly, that can get the formation back into its shape and then City can defend again. So it could be a real good move for City. Obviously a bad move for Tottenham, a player that's got the most assists from right fullback this season in the Premier League. Gives them a lot on that right-hand side, really evolving his game. Looks at some points like he's actually a winger, an old-school winger. You know, he has the feet, he has the chop, he has the ability to hit the byline now and pull the ball back. He's got it all for a modern fullback. So if City sign him, that will be a cracking deal. Still on £55,000 per week. And of course, we hear crazy money the likes of Pogba, Sanchez want, Ozil want. So, doubling his wages would be simple at Manchester City. But it would be quite sad for Tottenham. It could be the first big key part of their squad moving on. Another key part is Toby Alderweireld, who apparently has twice rejected a new contract. The Times reporting that over the weekend. And wants a release clause inserted in that new deal. Basically, I think he's got a release clause that activates in 2019 or 18 that is £25 million. You can talk to Tony Alderweireld and he will move to your club. So I think he wants to assert something in there, whether it's more money. David Levy obviously wants to keep the guy for Pochettino. He's been fantastic, brilliant at Southampton. Before that, Atletico Madrid was a very, very good defender there. He was part of the squad that got to the Champions League final, the first final that Simeone got to. Played either right back or centre back. Brilliant defender and would, again, instantly upgrade Manchester United's defence. United should be looking at players like Toby Alderweireld, who can defend but also can play out the back in terms of long balls. He's one of the best in the Premier League this season, but also since moving to the Premier League rated so highly in that category, and that's something that would upgrade United, is a ball-playing centre-back that is physically strong, that can play next to Eric Bailly and give United that platform to get them up the pitch. You know, with ball-playing centre-backs, it creates another problem for the opposition because they can no longer sit off the centre-backs. They potentially have to go and press them, opening up space and passing angles to find your central midfielder. So Mourinho, if Alderweireld is free, or not free, has a release clause, got to go for him. And in final Tottenham Hotspur news, Wilfred Zaha, apparently close to a move to Tottenham. The only thing that is stopping the move going through is the issue of the African Cup of Nations that happens every other season, and you'll miss 6 weeks of the season. So Zaha, who has decided to play for Ivory Coast over England, which is a fair thing. I think that's a better option than playing for England at the moment. Will be missing those six games, so it could be a big thing for Pochettino's decision-making whether he wants to bring in. Again, I mentioned it before, the only thing that I feel with this Pochettino side is the first 11 is so strong with Son now, Eriksen and Dele Alli. Is Zaha going to be able to get that game time that needs to continually improve himself? At the moment, he's taken steps to go the right way from being a United winger that can't make, you know, that fails to make a simple decision after beating his fullback. Similar thing happening with Palace last season. Seems like he's slowed himself down a little bit in the final third. I still don't think he's Tottenham Hotspur quality. It will be a lot of coaching that Pochettino will have to do to get him to set that right level. But of course, Pochettino's done it before with a number of players, so could be the perfect guy, would have impact off the bench. You know, he's quick, got skills. But I'm just not sure. I'm not sure about Wilfred Zaha moving to Tottenham. Moving on to Barcelona news, they've been linked with a host of players this weekend. Coutinho, Verratti, Theo Hernandez, and of course Hector Bellerin. Theo Hernandez, a left fullback. Hector Bellerin, obviously a right fullback. Coutinho, either a forward or a midfielder. And Verratti, a central midfielder. I think the big thing for them is finding someone to be as, you know, a consistent Andres Iniesta. Andres Iniesta looks like could be coming to the end of his career with the knee injury. Can't play every single week. Could play some games, but not every single week. So they massively need to get that midfield playmaker, Verratti, a guy that get, really, Isco's the guy. Isco's the guy they need to get. Isco's the guy they need to bring from Real Madrid to Barcelona in controversial fashion. Right, it's time to talk about Monaco versus Juve in the Champions League. The best attack versus the best defence. The big question for Juventus and Allegri is how to deal with Mbappe. Mbappe has been brilliant this season, his first big season in European football, and has scored so many goals. The big strength of Mbappe is drifting to the channels, either the left or the right, picking up the ball and either looking to throw a cheeky pulling wide to create a chance for a teammate. But it's those areas on the counter-attack where Mbappe is so, so deadly. But also off the ball, you know, him drawing players away from the likes of Bernardo Silva, who in fact has completed the most dribbles of any player left in the Champions League knockout stages this season. So it is that duality, is his movement off the ball but his movement on the ball, opening up space with his movement for Falcao to get into the penalty area, and then the likes of the wing backs to cross, or Lemar to cross, who plays more of a winger than a playmaker, and then that's goal time for them. How do they deal with that? First up, a bit of Gigi Buffon on Mbappe. He was born in 1998, right? Had already taken part in the World Cup in 1998 before he was born. This is the joy of life. The great thing, I'm lasting for a long time. I played with those born in the 50s and the 60s. Then I'll end up playing with against those born after the year 2000, which is incredible. Incredible career for Gigi Buffon. It would be a lovely, you know, send-off for him to win the Champions League, a trophy that he's never, ever won. But in terms of Mbappe, how do you deal with him? Only Cristiano Ronaldo has been directly involved in more goals in the knockout stages than Mbappe. His knockout stages by numbers is a bit of a joke. 50% chance conversion, 16 dribbles, 11 shots, 5 goals. Of course, he's going to be the European Golden Boy this season. But I was just thinking about how you'd stop Mbappe. Mbappe's big strength is getting behind those fullbacks and creating a lot of problems there. The likes of Sandro, Lichtsteiner, and Dani Alves have attacked quite a lot this season. And are very important in the transition for Juve, but also when Juve gets to that final third, especially on the left-hand side, Alexandro overlapping usually Mario Mandzukic, but on the right-hand side, Alves has supported Cuadrado very, very well, especially in that Champions League, with Dani Alves creating loads of chances this season. What potentially Allegri and Juve could do is play a back three. Makes a lot of sense. One, it would give Juve a 3v2 at the back. So that is Chiellini, Bonucci and Barzagli picking up Falcao and, of course, Mbappe. They need to be physical with these two players. Falcao's movement needs to be watched heavily by Barzagli, Bonucci. It's those near post runs or Chiellini on the other side. And, of course, Mbappe just needs to be physically bullied. We saw how Vincent Kompany did quite a good job. Marcus Rashford in the Manchester derby just, you know, consistently got up behind him, you know, made him feel he was there, consistently got him behind, clipped his heels. And that's exactly what these guys need to do against Mbappe, you know, bully him out of the game. But also, if you think about the 3-5-2, it would overload Monaco centrally. You're thinking Marquisio, Kadira, Pjanic up against Bakayoko and Fabinho. Again, where Monaco have struggled a little bit is when teams have counterattacked and attacked Monaco through that middle. You think of the Manchester City game, the 5-3, the amount of times that they were overloaded centrally by KDB, Silva, and Sterling, Aguero, Sane, whichever side wing it went down, whether it was Sterling side or Sane side, the rest of the players would get into that penalty area, and it was difficult for Monaco to pick these players up so centrally. So it could be a really good option to play those three in midfield. We've seen how well Sami Khedira has got into the opposition's penalty area since joining Juventus, scored a number of goals. Could be a really good thing there. And Pjanic, we know his quality in that final third, played a lot there for Roma, a little bit higher up the pitch, so could be a good option playing that midfield triangle, overloading them centrally. And of course at wing back, Alves and Sandro could be good to be used in a counter-attacking way. You know, Monaco do like to attack centrally and they do like to overload in the middle, but also the fullbacks on the overlap are quite crucial. So maybe going 2v1 on the wing might not be the best option for Juve, with Sandro potentially going up against both Bernardo Silva and Sidibe. That could be where Allegri does go back to that 4-4-2 or the 4-2-3-1, but I really think this 3-5-2 could work quite well against Monaco. Again, you're isolating Dybala and Gonzalo Higuain up against Glick and Jemison. That, again, is a bit of a mismatch there. But again, it's going to be about Silva, it's going to be about Lamar creating those chances for those two forwards to score goals. I'm going to go with 2-1 to Monaco. I think they're not going to score their average three goals. It's going to be a good defensive performance for Juventus, and they're going to take a crucial goal back to Turin, potentially win this tie. Even though I want to see Monaco win, I'm going to be supporting Monaco. Juve, I think, are going to do it. I think tactically, defensively, they've been absolutely awesome this season. Unfortunately, pragmatism does beat attacking intent, usually in European football. Anyway, guys, that's been that for episode 57 of the Statman Dave Football Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed Patrice Evra at the start. I hope you enjoyed my chat on transfers and, of course, the Champions League. Make sure you go over to iTunes and review the podcast. It means the world to me and it'll make me happy. Okay? Over and out. See you later. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.